back to the Pumps and Systems Podcast. I am your host, Drew Champlin, Managing Editor of Pumps and Systems Magazine. You can visit us on the web at pumpsandsystems.com. Today, we'll be talking about energy efficiency and reliability of centrifugal pumps to distribute clean water. And joining me on this podcast will be Hillary Johnson. She is a PhD candidate at the Jameel Water and Food Systems Lab at MIT, which is the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. She'll talk a little bit more about her research and her work as far as, you know, making pumps more efficient to distribute clean water as we get into the bio part of this podcast. But wanted to let everybody know you can listen to the podcast at pumpsandsystems.com/podcast. And you can also search for Pumps and Systems on any podcast platform such as Apple, Google, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify. You can search and subscribe and listen to all of our episodes. We've had more than 60 right now, and we're excited to have Hillary to talk about some pumps and clean water, and especially a project she has been working on. So without further ado, let me introduce Hillary Johnson. Hillary, how are you doing today?
Thank you, Drew. I'm doing great, and it's such a treat to be able to join you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely excited to have you on here. First off, just tell us about your background, who you are, maybe more about the Jameel Water and Food Systems Lab and what all you've been doing, you know, whatever pertinent information you'd like to share.
Absolutely. Well, maybe the first thing you should know is that many of my friends and family joke that Hillary is pumped about pumps, and it really is true. I love being able to work in the space of pumps for my PhD. And so my name is Hillary Johnson. Like you said, I'm a PhD candidate here at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I'm in the mechanical engineering department. I can equally wield a pipe wrench as well as do Python analysis and CFD and build stuff in the machine shop. My work is sponsored by the Abdul Latif Jameel Water and Food Systems Lab at MIT. They do an amazing job of bringing together MIT research, innovation, technology around finding solutions to urgent global water and food systems. And then a real highlight of my work here has been the ability to partner with Xylem. Their engineers and team have been instrumental into my work building adaptive hydraulics, which I'll tell you more about later on the podcast, but are new types of centrifugal pumps that are able to improve the energy efficiency of a pump over the lifetime. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. We work with Xylem a lot. They send a lot of articles, and they actually are going to have one in our February 2022 edition of Pumps and Systems. And it'll be related to a wastewater case study they did. So be sure to look for that when that is available on February 1st. But Hillary, I know you have done a lot of work designing a new pump. So first off, tell me about this new pump you have designed. How did the idea come about during research and development, and where would it be used?
Absolutely. Well, so this project really started when Xylem, partnering with JWoffs, came to MIT and asked a number of professors to pitch projects that they thought would be interesting in the pump and water space. And my advisor, Professor Alex Slocum, and a colleague named Kevin Simon, they and kind of drew me into putting together a proposal for improving the efficiency of centrifugal pumps. And I think it was at the time kind of an audacious goal, because a lot of the world around pumps right now is excited about integrating sensors in the hardware, real-time analytics, using those analytics to then control the pump systems, which I agree are all exciting things. So maybe at first some people thought, why are you proposing to actually change the pump itself? Haven't pumps been around for hundreds of years? What more could you do? But really the key insight early on in my work was that in most pumping systems, you have this fluctuating or variable flow. Like in a clean water pumping situation in a municipality, in the mornings, you might have lower flows. And then, well, in the early mornings, low flows. And then when everyone wakes up, higher flows when everyone's taking their shower. And then throughout the day, you have kind of this fluctuation. And what a system really needs to be able to do is to adapt and adjust to that fluctuation in order to operate efficiently and resiliently. And one of the most common ways that we can do that now is using a variable speed drive and also connecting pumps in series or in parallel so that they can be working together and you can turn them on and off. And so while that is really useful, and this gets maybe on the technical side here, you can use variable speed drives to either control for flow or efficiency. And what we saw is that we needed an additional way to control if we wanted to control both the flow and efficiency. So we said, how else could you control this? And really there was an equation that that we worked on deriving and that showed us, wait a second, everyone has assumed that the volute, which is the casing, it's a spiral casing around the impeller, everyone's assumed that it's kind of a constant static size, but any good pump designer knows that the geometry of that volute is really important to achieving a good best efficiency point. So our key insight early on in the process was, what if we could change the size of the volute in order to allow the pump to adapt to variable flows? So to put it simply, when you have higher flows, could the pump get larger? And when you have lower flows, could the pump get smaller? And in doing that, we have shown experimentally that you are able to improve the efficiency across that range of flows.
Well, Hillary, so what problem is this solving for the user, and what ways will it make the user's job easier?
That's a great question. So like I said, in when systems are changing over time, this would allow an operator to be able to change the pump to adjust it in order to match those operating conditions. So like in a wastewater treatment plant, when you have much higher flows, or if you are in a flood stage situation, or if you are in agriculture and irrigating two fields versus one field, you could then open up the pump, make it physically larger while you need higher flows, and it would operate more efficiently at those higher flow rates. And then when you go back to a more normal flow, the pump gets smaller to the like baseline, and that allows it to not have just one best efficiency point, but to have a broad efficiency range. And what I've shown thus far in my data is that we can operate efficiently not just from 85% to 110% of the baseline, but actually from even more than 60% to 150%. And we're working on making that even broader.
So will this appeal to users in the US and abroad? And if so, will the applications be different from one country to another for any reason?
That's a great question. So it will apply both to users here in the US and in Europe, as well as abroad. Anywhere where you have a pump system that is influenced by need for better efficiency as well as better resiliency, this sort of pump could be implemented. Kind of some of the good things about the design that I've actually designed and built in from my functional requirements are that this could be both a retrofit or a new pump. And it can work within current systems. So it works collaboratively with the variable speed drive so that you can be controlling the flows and efficiency of your system. And so, like I mentioned before, we envision that this could be used in applications like clean water transportation in a small town or municipality. We are extending my prototypes, which have all been focused on clean water. We're extending them to dirty water, like wastewater. And then it could also be used in irrigation and potentially also in like building systems as well.
All right. Well, sounds like a great broad project here. Let's talk a little bit more about just centrifugal pumps in general. Centrifugal pumps have been around for hundreds of years. Why is there newly focused attention on centrifugal pumps and a need for improvement?
Well, centrifugal pumps are really the backbone of our fluid systems. I always think about every time you turn on the tap, or you're able to flush the toilet, or even you're able to get produce at the grocery store that has been irrigated, all of that is because there are pumps. And so when I first started working on this project, it really opened my eyes to how essential pumps are to almost every part of society, but how often overlooked they are. And So I think there's new attention on pumps as efficiency becomes more important. So both the US and the EU have recently passed legislation around mandating efficiency criteria for pumps and requiring companies to be able to certify and prove and the efficiency of their hardware. So that's partially driving this new emphasis on pumps is legislation. Part of it is users or operators are able to measure the efficiency of their systems. I think that's something that shouldn't be underestimated, is before people just weren't measuring and looking kind of in a real-time way at the efficiency of their plant. And so when we do like life cycle analyses of hardware, we're seeing that energy is actually a major operating cost, as well as, and then also ties in with maintenance. And so by improving the efficiency of a pump, at least with the adaptive and variable volume that I'm working on, you not only improve the efficiency, but also the reliability, because you're, this gets into the fluid flows, but you're basically maintaining constant static pressure around the impeller. And so that means that you're reducing radial loads on the shaft, which would then increase, when you're reducing those loads, you're then increasing the lifetime of your seals, the lifetime of your bearings. And so not only is it improving efficiency, but also reliability of your pump.
All right. Well, the global centrifugal water pump market is expected to grow by $7.4 billion or thereabouts by 2025. So from your perspective as someone who studies the engineering of this of these pumps, how do you foresee that kind of growth? And if so, why?
Well, I'm sure there's economists who would have a much more informed opinion than me. But what I see from my perspective as an engineer is that, one, many of our pump systems in the US and in Europe are old and need replacing. And then second of all, as we experience impacts due to climate change, we see flooding and also drought, and you need pumps in both scenarios. When you have too much water, you need pumps to get rid of it. And when you have too little water, you need pumps to be able to transport it. And so I think in order to replace aging infrastructure, and then also as we see so many emerging markets, updating and implementing infrastructure systems, that's going to be huge new areas of growth. And I think many of many places will experience kind of leapfrog innovation, where rather than implementing systems that we have now in the US, for say, places in emerging markets will probably be implementing even newer and better, more efficient technology, which is exciting. And then finally, as we experience more uncertainty due to climate change, we will, I think that pumps will become even more important.
So Hillary, what are some other considerations engineers should be thinking of in regards to the energy efficiency and reliability of centrifugal pumps to distribute clean water?
That's a great question. I think really my approach has been to think holistically about not only the hardware of the pump, but also the system it is in, and to look at what are the, you might say, fat rabbits, or like what are the biggest wins for efficiency. And that's really what I went after in designing this variable volute. I saw that hydraulic efficiency losses, because you're operating away from the BEP over these variable flows, that was a huge way that we could improve the lifetime efficiency of a system. I think that many of the pump engineers I respect already think in this holistic way, saying, okay, what is the pump doing? How am I controlling it? What sort of data am I getting in real time? And how am I then using that data to maybe anticipate operating scenarios, so that rather than being reactive, we can be proactive in the ways we're changing or controlling the pump? Like, are we changing, ramping up the speed, or are we turning on a second pump when we know that there's going to be higher volume? Or do we have this variable volume pump that can expand to meet a higher or a lower flow rate? And so that's from kind of a really understanding and knowing the hardware and the fluid dynamics of that hardware, and then really integrating that on an operator level with the control systems that we have. And I think that there's a really interesting area of new exploration around using machine learning. But I think there also has to be a lot of credit given to experienced operators who know the sound and the operation of their pumps and are able to adjust it to the conditions. And so we're seeing a time in which sensors and data and connected hardware are becoming more, certainly more prevalent, and that's giving us new opportunities to be able to control systems in proactive ways.
Okay, Hillary, to wrap this up a little bit, you just want to kind of summarize the pump you designed before we close this podcast out.
Absolutely. So what I've really designed is what I call a variable volute, and it is the spiral casing in a centrifugal pump. And I've designed this such that it can be adaptive, in that it can get larger at higher flows and smaller at lower flows. And that both increases the efficiency over a broader range of operating points, as well as can potentially make the pump more energy efficient or more reliable, as well as energy efficient. So I'm excited to be publishing some of this research and also to be transferring the technology. I'm so thankful for my many collaborators and supporters. And it's been really cool to get to be a part of the world of pumps.
Okay. Well, where would people be able to find your research? Or do you have a timeline on when it's going to be published, or have you already published some of it right now?
Well, the plan is to graduate this spring. And so I will be giving a thesis defense and then hopefully putting out a few papers on the data I've been working on collecting. There's already one paper out in a journal called Applied Energy, and that's actually more of a systems level analysis on using a wastewater treatment plant as a case study. So if you search Hillary Johnson on Google Scholar, you can start to find my papers, or I'm always happy to get tips. So feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well. I love connecting with this community.
Okay. Yeah. You can find Hillary Johnson on LinkedIn. That's Hillary with one L for anyone who would like to search and ask her for any more insights on the project. Hillary, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about your project and also talking about centrifugal pumps and ways to make them more efficient and reliable as far as clean water goes.
Drew, thank you so much for having me. I've been a reader and a listener of Pumps and Systems. And so it's a real treat to be part of the podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
And you're very welcome. And that will wrap up this episode of the Pumps and Systems podcast. Please go to pumpsandsystems.com/podcast or search for the Pumps and Systems podcast on any platform such as Apple or Google, Spotify, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. Would love to have you rate us and review us. Would also love to get feedback to my email. And you can send me an email, dchamplin at Cahaba Media. That's CahabaMedia.com. Would love to hear from you. You can also find me on LinkedIn and ask me any podcast questions or give me some suggestions. That's Drew, Drew, and last name Champlin, Champlin. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.